Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we begin our show, I just want to say welcome for all of the listeners across the country and around the world who will listen at the appropriate time for them. Well, I won't be the first to tell you, unless you've been sleeping or under a rock or something, but the Queen of England is no longer with us. And our show, well, it wasn't planned to address her in particular, but we are going to dedicate this particular show to her and her family, the United Kingdom, the folks over there, and the other folks who have been impacted by the things that I was able to notice the growth in her as well as her country. So, whoa, fasten your seatbelt, because here we go. When we wrap up, I'll play the rest of that song, but I don't want to lose you folks, and I know we all have our issues of grief, and while I'm going to say hello to our co-host and our senior who has been with us every step of the way, first, good evening, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you may be joining us from. Today is a special day. It is a little saddening that our queen is now made the transition. She lived for 96 years, so she has lived a life of good measure. And so there's really nothing to be sad about because she's lived well. And so we just pray for her family as they go through their time of grief and loss.
Amen to that. And before we get going, I'm going to acknowledge our elder statesman because this is part of a rite of passage. And he has been extremely instrumental in finding the right words to help many, many folks move along. So good evening, North Carolina.
Good evening, young man.
And it's great to be talking to you, and we're going to be asking you a question a little bit later, so hopefully you'll be able to hang in there for a few moments.
I shall be glad to.
Outstanding. Today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, for those who tuned in, was about healthy distractions. Let's find out if it works, because this one right here is kind of a big one. I had no idea, and I'm sure Dr. Clark has reminded us, we don't get to plan how we're going to feel. We can plan a death. We can plan a burial. We can plan the after party. We can plan on survivability in the absence or a loss of something or someone. But we cannot plan on how we're going to feel. So I came up with some things. And as usual, Dr. Clark will make some sense out of all of this. But I did get some last minute stuff from you folks. So I'm going to jump through that one really quick. It's called Healthy Distractions, How People Can Recover or Help Recover. Exercise. Yes, exercise. Why? Because it releases something called endorphins in your body. And if you sweat, the big muscles and the large muscles, they start communicating and they're focusing on something else. It in turn goes over to your brain and your brain says, hey, I forgot what I was thinking about, or I feel a little bit better, like I can handle it. But it doesn't stop there. Some people like to sing. Some people don't know they can sing, but they go ahead and sing anyway. because it makes them feel a little bit better. Some people like to dance. Some people can't dance. Little quick story. Some people say all black folks got soul and they can dance, but nobody told us that even has an expiration date. I don't have no soul, can't hold on to a beat. So I won't be trying that one anytime soon, but nevertheless, let me move on. Acting, yes. Playing parts, getting involved in the theater or the arts of acting is always fun and a great healthy distraction. Oh, and mentoring. Yeah, that means helping somebody else get through something, as my friend over in North Carolina does with me quite often. Social groups. I'm not talking about the ones that's just going to whine all day about yesterday. No, I'm talking about the ones who say, we're going to deal with everything but that, and we're just going to keep going and moving forward, okay? Finding a hobby. I used to like to build model cars. I don't think they do that anymore, but that was fun. I had a train set. Can't remember where those are anymore. But a hobby, flying a kite. There's a beautiful place, if you happen to be in California, overlooking Catalina Island from Palos Verde. It is awesome. I call it the edge of the world. We'll find out about that if you folks want to write me and find out why we call it the edge of the world. We'll talk about that later. Traveling is also a good distraction. There's a young lady who has been instrumental in helping our organization out even quite recently, who is buying a boat and sailing it all the way to Spain and taking up life there. Now, that's called moving on, okay? Oh, guess what? This person says, one of the best, healthiest distractions that I could think of is falling in love. Okay, well, we can love a lot of things. I'm hoping that you're not just spreading your love around everywhere, okay? So I'm going to just leave that one alone and let you folks think about that. How about writing a book? That's always fun. And last, become a YouTube celebrity. Go figure. Dr. Clark, we've watched this family, this young lady, and this was my perspective, that she saw a change in her country's attitude and mindset. There have been many countries, as we well know, who tried to exercise world dominance, and England was no different. However, you know, as we evolve, we stop being so selfish or egotistical, thinking that we may be always right and taking a look at other perspectives or some of the damages that we do when we try to force our will on other folks. And what I saw when the Queen of England had participated in World War II, mentored by, I believe that gentleman's name, all right, elder statesman, who was the Secretary of State in the 1940s? Winston Churchill, yeah, that's the one. Okay, so, folks, I watched that queen grow up. That was her destiny, going through things of understanding the impact of discriminations. And just in case anybody didn't notice it, the song that I played or the music that I played was not God Bless America, our national anthem. It was the United Kingdom's national anthem. Yes, it's the same music. It's just the different words. So embrace yourself and let's try to get a grip on this. Dr. Clark, just please say that you're still there and you have some words of wisdom to help ground us in this international grief and loss. The biggest one so far, I'm sure, well, I don't know, that you'll entertain on this show so far. International grief and loss. Wow, that's got a ring to it. Can you help us?
Well, this one is definitely coming out of the woodworks. International grief and loss carries the same type of ramifications and the same feelings and the same emotions as loss on a local level. Again, it's all relational. And so depending on how you felt about the queen and her relationship and how she conducted business over in Britain, then the impact that this loss or that this news has on you is going to vary. For me, on a personal level, I'm just not very well connected to all the happenings over in Britain or over in England and London and over in Scotland. And so for me, it's a loss because of what she stood for. And so I feel on that level. But to say that it is something that is a traumatic event for me personally, I can't say that. But for hundreds and thousands of people, it's a very devastating loss, just as the loss of, I'm probably equating it to the loss of Dr. Martin Luther King for African Americans. And that whole civil rights movement. I can imagine that for the population of Britain and London, that it kind of has that impact for them. And so I'm sure that people will do things to distract themselves during this time or do their best to distract themselves. However, when we look at distractions, we have to consider whether the type of activity that I'm engaged in, is it healthy or not healthy? So I guess it would help to be to, first of all, look at what a distraction is. What do we define as a distraction? A distraction is merely no more than something that keeps us from giving something else or someone else our full attention. And so we will engage in activities and behaviors that keep us from fully attending to something that has great meaning to us. And sometimes those things that we do can do us more harm than good. When it comes to grief and loss, there are times where we need to be distracted maybe from those who are around us because of where we are at that point and not being able to be in the midst of. But what we want to do is remember, we want to allow ourselves to feel during that time. We want to give ourselves permission to feel what we need to feel, how we need to feel it, when we need to feel it, where we need to feel it. And we need to be unapologetic about the permission that we give ourselves. When we try to distract ourselves, we are doing nothing more but suppressing the pain that we have inside. And remember, our goal is to get ourselves to a place where we can embrace the pain and live life with intention and purpose to honor the loss. Well, we can't get there if we allow ourselves to be distracted all the time. Does it take time to get to that point? Yes. So sometimes a distraction is a coping mechanism, and sometimes it serves as a safety net for us for a period of time. But when it serves as a safety net for a long-term period of time, then that's where the red flags go up. And then we have to really think about, is this healthy for me or is it not healthy for me? So we need to be mindful of that when we are engaging in distraction so that we don't feel the pain. The pain hurts. The pain can be deep. The pain may seem as if it will never go away, but if we hide from the pain, if we run from the pain, if we throw blinders up for the pain, then that makes it even worse. It's like getting into, for example, it's like say you get involved in drugs and alcohol and you get an addiction. And then you start this process of recovery. Well, that becomes a lifelong process. And it becomes a longer process to get you back to a baseline than it would have if you would have allowed yourself the opportunity to engage in the self-care that you needed and the support services at an earlier time. So the longer we take to face our pain that's related to grief and loss, the more we will have the tendency to fall into utilizing distractions. So I say, allow yourself to feel, allow yourself to go there, allow yourself to sit with the pain, learn what you can learn from the pain, grow how you can grow from the pain. So as we tie it back to Queen Elizabeth, if you need to sit with the pain of her loss, sit with the pain of her loss. If you need to face it, face it. If it has that impact on you, again, it's a universal event that has taken place, but it's an individual experience. And so you have to face that experience for what it means to you, because it's directly correlated to the relationship that you have with either her, her position, her label, or just what she stood for. So that's kind of where I stand on this whole thing.
Wow, that was amazing. I really want to thank you, Dr. Clark, for helping ground us and not running away from our fears or our grief or our loss through distractions, because sometimes, as you mentioned, that's all they are, and they are temporary. It doesn't make the pain go away. It just masks it. So that's what I got out of it. And before we get ready to start moving and wrapping it up, I've got a question for North Carolina. To find out, are you still there, one? North Carolina, hold on one second here. I think that's a button that I'm supposed to push first. And there it is. North Carolina, you still on?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. I'm sure in your 70, almost 9 years, that you've had an opportunity to experience some type of a loss or emotional pain behind something. Can you share what you have done to help process your grief, or what distractions or healthy distractions have you used that probably will fall in line with what Dr. Clark has already stated? But share with us, if you don't mind.
Well, regarding healthy distractions, I've come to believe in my life that timing in life is everything. Timing, T-I-M-I-N-G. I am a grandfather of two small children, a young boy, a young girl, and I have not seen them for 9 months. In 6 days. They're approximately 150 miles from where I am, and their mother, for whatever reason, has chosen not to share them with me so I could at least give them a hug. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. I don't know her reason for doing that. She and her husband each have their own vehicle. They're 150 miles away from me, so they're an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours away. But it hurts. So sometimes there has to be a distraction from this so-called status quo to look at change that. And that appears to be getting ready to happen to me, where I would not be dependent upon them. I can go see them instead. So do I hold a grudge for that? No. Do I still love both of my daughters? Yes. Love my two grandkids? Yes. Even though the last time I spoke to my oldest daughter, she said, and her last 2 words was, love you. It's been hard to deal with. But now there appears to be a chance for me to take, shall I say, the bull by the horns and do things my way and right the situation. Not out of degree of why did you do that? But I'm getting back to what I dare say would be the word normal. Normal situation of being able to hold my grandkids, kiss them, hug them. Normal being for the sense of spending time with them. Because for the last 9 months and 6 days, I've not been a part of their life. So things appear to be changing quite quickly now. Because, as I said earlier, timing in life is everything.
Wow, that was awesome. Thank you very much, North Carolina. And for all you folks who don't know what time it is, it's time for me to go ahead and check in with Dr. Clark one more time to start preparing to wrap this up. Oh, didn't do the sponsorship. Well, here's the thing. We have a purpose here for being on the air. And my focus is for two strong groups of individuals that have gone through what I consider extremely traumatic. That's our veterans who have gone and dealt with life every day, not knowing if within the next couple of minutes they lose the friend next to them or lose their own life. And that takes a heavy toll. And too often, many of them, when they return back here to society, they wind up on the street. And that's not okay. So we're building flashbacks for them. And the other population is our former foster care youth. I have in common with Dr. Clark that when we first began working together along with the rest of our team is when our children were in group home and foster care. Now, that hasn't stopped. And unfortunately, it's dominated by a lot of folks at a political level that sometimes it makes it difficult to really follow through with some of the things that are needed to help our children be prepared for adulthood, because all of our kids are not twins. And even if they were twins, their behaviors are different, their perceptions are different, and we have to address that accordingly. And sometimes our hands have been full, but we've always given the best shot that we can. But unfortunately, statistically, there's a high, high degree of those that end up on the street in jail or even dead. Well, we want to save the ones that are alive or at least give them a better chance, and we will through flashbacks. So go to Flashback Academy. Feel comfortable if you donate a dollar. If you would like to find out how you can get involved, you can write us at flashbksllc@gmail.com. And do know that it would be much greatly appreciated. And my personal agenda, I'm just trying to leave a mark to do something and know that I helped somebody. When it's time for me to go home and the good Lord says, what did you do with your life? He really won't have to ask because we know he's omnipresent and he knows everything, but I won't have to question myself. Join us and help us make life just a little bit better for those who have sacrificed or who have become victims. Now, Dr. Clark, do you have an exercise that you might be able to share with us that could help us get through some of the grief and loss? But I am talking on an international level still today because I found out earlier that our great friend over in Shanghai, China, has been his community, they're locked up in their homes or ordered to stay on a regular basis, and if they finally get the memo or the card or however it is, that it's their turn to go shopping and they have to be gone and be back within a certain length of time, sequestered, that might be a better word for it, but it's really, really tough. Kids don't get to go to school, and relationships get testy. So it's a loss to not be able to get out and endure and exchange pleasantries with folks or bumping the people on the subway or what have you. So we are talking international, and needless to say, one of our other colleagues, which she's asked me not to repeat her name because in her country there are some really serious things going on, so she's had to leave all of her family and come to America just to survive, but leaving her family behind is a great, 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 great loss. So on an international level, we have not forgotten about none of you folks, and the ones who I haven't mentioned over in Kenya and Tanzania, we remember you too. Dr. Clark, can you prepare to take us home?
Well, we have 4 minutes remaining, and I wanted to be able to acknowledge that this is our 101 episode tonight, and I wanted to express my gratitude for those who have joined us for this 101 episode and who have been with us, and to give a quick recap of the reason why NUM Is Not Enough was established. It was established so that we could have a space to come and talk about grief and loss and talk about what these stages of grief look like, how they present themselves, how we can get through them, the various types of grief and loss, and just to be able to explore this whole phenomenon together and to hopefully encourage someone along the way. So again, I thank you guys for joining us and for being here with us. And so as we prepare to close out our evening, I know that was very fast, but I wanted to be able to give a recap, but we've just totally run out of time as we got involved in talking about our queen. So I apologize, but I don't apologize to our listeners. I encourage you to join us again. And in the words of my good friend, Mr. Dr. Alan Whippet, it's tempting to put off this work of grief. Postponing or suppressing it would be safer and less hurtful. Yet, the time is now. I must embrace the uncertainty. So until we meet again, give yourself permission and give yourself room to grieve. Don't run from it. Face it head on. Take a deep breath and know that you'll get through it and you will learn to live again. Thanks for joining us. See you on Saturday.